former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Dave Ross in for Stormy today alongside Michael Lombardi. Michael, we're going to get to what's on your mind. I know there is a lot on your mind here on this Tuesday, but I do want to begin in the NBA because we've got some new series that will debut tonight in round number two. One of them is Cleveland against Boston, and I get the general consensus, and I understand why it feels like this might be a non-competitive series. Jared Allen, key cog to that Cavs machine, don't know about his availability, does not look good for game one. And the zinger, Kristaps Porzingis, same situation for him with Boston. 12.5-point favorites, this number has gone up. You know all about being an underdog and kind of no chance to win this series or let alone a game. What's the mentality of Cleveland going into this thing for Boston? Because I feel like everybody's already kind of penciled in Boston into the NBA Finals.
Well, I mean, it's us against the world, right? I mean, that's the speech. That's what everybody's singing in Cleveland is they don't expect to win. They want to play it close, see if they can get it to the fourth quarter. Everybody's looking for a blowout. And that once it, that you know, starts to get the game get away from them, they can take it over. And I think the wake-up call that Boston received in the first round against Miami benefits them, right? They kind of has their attention and refocused again on what they need to do. And the hard thing for a team that's favored is you can't expect the game to be over in the first quarter, right? You can't, like, these games are going to – you have to wear down an opponent. It's a boxing match. You got to throw body punches to knock the opponent out. And I think ultimately losing to Miami refocused Boston on understanding that, hey, we got to play good in four quarters to win or get this into the third quarter. But – we know Cleveland's undermanned. I mean, their bench isn't very strong. Without Allen, it makes it even harder. And, you know, Mitchell can't carry the team like he has against Orlando. You know, Orlando had great opportunity, had an 18-point lead, but their two best players shot 3 for 28 from the floor. I don't think Boston's going to do that. So, you know, look, I think what Will Hill said is really true. I mean, the path to the finals for Boston is relatively easy. You know, beat Miami, a wounded Miami team, and then have Cleveland here before you get to the Knicks-Pacers after the Knicks and the Sixers went through a hard round. This is going to be a hard round with the Pacers, and then the next round's going to be – both teams are going to be exhausted by the time they get to Boston.
You know, we have another series that's getting ready to debut and tip off in the Western Conference. It feels like OKC hasn't played
one.
Right? It feels like OKC hasn't played in forever. Because, right, they just get an easy sweep, and they've been waiting. Dallas pushed, obviously, in their first-round series. They get it done in six against the Clippers. And now Dallas is going to be a small dog. They're going to get 3.5 tonight in OKC. And the same thing, I feel like now because all the focus, rightfully so, is on the Timberwolves and what they're doing with their 2-0 series lead over the reigning defendings, people have already forgotten about the one seed. It is OKC. And are people going to be in for another surprise that maybe if we all thought – Oklahoma City, Minnesota, they're a year away, that the kids have arrived. Do you expect to see some of that tonight with the Thunder?
Well, look, I think the Thunder, you know, they won the season series 3-1 against the Mavericks. Last time they played, they won 135-86. It was a meaningless game, which clinched their number one seed in the West. But, you know, I think to me, Dallas has played really well since the trading deadline. We all know this, right? The addition, the additions that they made with P.J. Washington, and they were able to get Lively in the first round, and he's really been a good player. So this is a good team, and they have two legitimate superstar players. I mean, let's face it. They're really a good team, and I think with Kyrie Irving playing the way he's playing with Luka, it always makes it a challenge. But this length of Oklahoma can be a problem. And look, you know, I don't think they're a young team anymore. I think, you know, we keep throwing that around. But all these guys have been playing AAU. They've been playing in big games, whether it's been in college somewhere. Like, this is just playing, you know? This is just playing. And I think, to me, we put too much into that. Minnesota doesn't seem to have a problem with it. They haven't lost on the road and have covered every single game.
Absolutely. So it's going to be, and SGA is one of the young stars of the league, certainly for the OKC. He always talks about how cohesive that Thunder group is. So I'll be fascinated to see what Luka and Kyrie can do against this. Again, we saw this smothering defense of Minnesota. OKC plays pretty darn good defense as well. That other series we mentioned.
And, you know, David, so does Dallas. I mean, think about it. Now, Dallas, before they traded for Gafford, you know, and before they traded for B.J. Washington, and they got Grant Williams out of there, who was killing their team, was a horrible signing. You know, he wasn't in shape. They couldn't get anything out of him. They ship him away to Charlotte. Naturally, Charlotte takes him, you know, and absorbs that contract. Their defense was 22nd with Grant Williams in the league. Mm. You know, and then after he leaves, they fix their defense and improve to 8th. That's a huge improvement after the trade deadline. And so they're playing at a higher level than they've ever played. And I think, to me, you know, that's going to be critical because they kind of have bonded their team. You could see the way they play. They're more of a collective unit than they've ever been before.
Yeah, it might be the most dangerous version of Dallas that we've seen in quite some time here with Luka and Kyrie in that defense improving, as you alluded to. I want to get to what's on your mind, and I think it has something to do with the Miami Heat, who are no longer playing. And Jimmy Butler had a lot of things to say. If you remember, after they won Game 2 in the Garden, they interviewed Jimmy down there in South Beach. He said, you know, if I'm playing, we win this series. I want you to hear what Pat Riley had to say as they did their exit interviews and his thoughts on the Heat and Jimmy Buckets.
Problems in the NBA, you know, that are league-wide when it comes to health, it comes to players missing games and availability. You know, you take a look at all the young, sort of up-and-coming, they haven't tasted it yet, OKC, Minnesota, Indiana, you know, Boston with their new group, Orlando, et cetera, you know. For some reason, these guys are playing 70 to 80 games. It's a feeling more than anything else. But that's definitely a deep dive for us this summer and to player availability.
Whoa. So, Michael, we got to get to what's on your mind with Pat Riley's comments, because that does feel like kind of like an old school guy saying maybe the old school way is the better way.
It's not old school. It's the right school. This is where it gets confused, right? All the analytical people want to call it old school, that you're some old white guy talking up there. When in reality, the proof is in the pudding, right?
Yeah.
And what they're looking at is what they don't want to look at is leadership. That's leadership, what you just saw there from Riley. That's called leadership. That's called making a statement, not hedging around, not trying to make everybody happy. That's called leadership. We're not going to tolerate paying great sums of money to Jimmy Butler, who can't play, who's standing next to me, right? And even though the commissioner doesn't seem to mind it, Riley's standing up for the league and basically saying, when you look at the guys' up-and-coming teams, they play. That's why this notion of they're too young. They're not too young. They've been playing all season. They're experienced. Right. And so what Riley did yesterday was something that we don't see enough in sports, which is have the ability to call out players when they're not playing well, have the ability to put the onus back. You know, Jimmy Butler makes a ridiculous statement, you know, and he got called out on it. And that's called leadership. If you want to do that, that's fine. But you can't make that statement. And I think to me, we miss this. It's something that I think you can see clearly. That Riley's not going down this road ever again. He's going to build his team around his two young players that know that he could count on them when he drives to the stadium every time they play. And as an executive, as a fan of any team, it's one of the worst things you could do. All we hear about is how great Embiid is. It's all we hear about. He's great. He's tremendous. He never plays. You know, he never plays. I keep saying he's like Ferris Bueller's Buddy's Cameron's car. He just put it in the garage. You never use it. It looks great, but you never use it. And when you need it the most, when you absolutely have to have it, you can't find it. And so what you saw yesterday was leadership. And anybody who wants to question that, you know, you don't even understand what leadership is. And like Barkley told the media the other day, look, there's a reason why some of these players don't. You know, it's like LeBron. Nobody says this about LeBron. Hey, LeBron, if you really want to win a Super Bowl, if you really want to win another title, why don't you opt out of your contract and take $10 million so the Lakers can go sign a bunch of other players? You don't need the money. You're just chasing a championship at this point. You can do 5 commercials and make zillions of dollars. If you're committed to winning another title, Why you got to take all the money?
Fair point. And look,
nobody's saying that.
Right.
You won't get anybody saying that.
No, because you can't criticize the king. But that's Tom Brady did that, right? With the
$1 million. You can't criticize players, and that's what Riley did. You can't call people out for their actions because it's, you know, you're not, you know, that's not leadership.
And he did it to Tyler Hero too, right? It wasn't just Jimmy Butler. He was basically looking at the roster saying, you know, we can't get our best guys out there when we need them the most. And if I can't count on them to be here, I gotta reexamine this thing, right? That's totally fair. If, you know, we always say he can't make the club from the tub.
Well, especially when he's got to go sit with his owner and say, you know, we're paying Jimmy X amount of dollars and he missed 22 games. And see, Riley's sitting there saying, look, what I have seen before, I'm going to see again. You know, past performance predicts future achievement. And so why would I give Jimmy two more years of a contract to just give it away? Like the 76ers are going to pick up the 2 years on Embiid's contract and give him more money when they know he's never going to be around for it because nobody has the guts to stand up and say, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. That's not smart business.
Yeah,
that's not a smart. And so the fans are the ones who pay the price for it. Maury's not sitting up there saying, you know, we got to get more out of Embiid. He's sitting there saying, I have to do a better job knowing that Embiid could get hurt. We're going to have a better. No. How about get him in shape? How about somebody sit there and say, get in shape? How about somebody say something like Doris Burke said? Hey, Darryl, Doris Burke said Embiid was out of shape in pregame.
And he was. Let's talk about the toughest divisions in the NFL next here in the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
For a limited time only, we're going to offer our annual subscription at an unbeatable price. Normally priced at $240, you can now grab your subscription for just $199. So sign up today. We're going to give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use the promo code Lombardi. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get instant access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see who has the best win percentage and ROI, 19 hours of live programming, including expert breakdowns, in-game analysis, proven betting systems from our professional handicappers, and our exclusive betting splits showing you where the money and the bets are moving for every single game. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today. Claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with the promo code Lombardi. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Michael Lombardi, Dave Ross here as we continue this edition of the Lombardi Line. And, you know, in TV, Michael, I used to have to write teases, right? I got to get you to stick around through the commercial break to come on back. Maybe Jim Irsay is throwing out a bit of a tease to everybody because we thought the schedule was coming out this week, Thursday. Then we're like, oh, that's going to get pushed back maybe till next week. Well, he just tweeted not that long ago, X'd, whatever we want to call these days, that he has a sneaking suspicion that the schedule release is going to be sooner than we make. Michael Lombardi, what do you make of that? When is this thing coming out?
Well, I mean, he already knows the schedule. He knows it. I mean, he's an owner. I mean, I'm sure they've gotten word that, you know, they're going to schedule it. I'm sure later today or maybe tomorrow we'll get some kind of announcement of when they're going to do it, the broadcast, because they make it an event. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they did it right in the middle of an NBA game and they'll outdraw the NBA when they put that schedule up there, when you can read it in the paper, but still people are going to watch. I mean, look, it's the NFL. It's just anything they do, it turns to gold, and it's going to continue to turn to gold because it's a great game. It's fun to watch. It's got a lot of intrigue to it, and people want to get a jump on those tickets. I mean, Howard mentioned that, you know, Eagle fans have to travel to Brazil. American Airlines put two more flights here in Philadelphia to Brazil during that time. And because they know that Eagle fans will take a vacation and go down there and go to Brazil and enjoy their team and enjoy a vacation in another country. So, you know, if they can afford it, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you can afford it. So that the NFL can move mountains. And I think we're going to see it sooner rather than later.
Yeah, it's fascinating. You're right. Everything is news that comes out of the league. And we'll see what that means with Jim Irsay. But you're right. He already knows as one of the owners here when this thing's coming out. I did want to get to your list here of the toughest divisions in the NFL. There's only eight of them, but we're going to go top five of the toughest divisions that you see. Go 5-1, Michael. Let's start with the fifth. It's one that I'm very interested in, obviously, as a Cowboy backer here. What do you make of the NFC East?
Well, I think it's really, you know, I think what Howard said and I've said and everybody has agreed, Philly's had a really good offseason in all three areas, players, coaches, and scheme. They're fifth because their two weakest teams, Washington and New York, New York, I'm not sure they've improved with their 6-11 season from last year. You know, however, Washington, I think, can win more than four games, but neither of them seem to me to be a threat at the quarterback position, which could entice them to beat two good teams that have two good quarterbacks. So to me, it really came down to it's a two-team race. We know over the last 10 seasons that the Cowboys have won five of the NFC East titles. The Eagles have won three. Washington has won two. One of them was below 500. And the Giants haven't won any. So it's tough to have a great division when one team hasn't been really representative in the last 10 years.
Yeah, I agree on all fronts there. Again, as somebody is always looking out at the Eagles as a Cowboy guy, the division we might have to look a little bit deeper this year with the improvements, at least on paper, for the Commanders, and we'll find out about the Giants. Let's get to number four. You're going to stay in the NFC, Michael, but which division goes to number four? It's going to be the West, we see.
Well, I think the North is four, and look, I think it's the NFC West, I think San Francisco is going to be – I'm not sure I'm ready to go where Howard is in terms of they're not going to be back. All their players are coming back. They've improved their defense. I think they're going to change with Nick Sorensen as defense coordinator. I think you're going to see more of a diversity. They can still run the ball. McCaffrey stays healthy and their team stays healthy. They'll be there. I think the Rams are improved. Mm-hmm. And what I'm writing about today for tomorrow is Seattle. I think Seattle is an undervalued team. I really do, because they're 9-8 last year. They were horrendous, horrendous on defense. They couldn't stop the run. You know, they couldn't get control of the game with their defense. 2 years in a row now, they've been in the bottom third defensively in most statistics. And if they can keep the offense healthy, last year they went through a lot of injuries, but they still won nine games in Pete Carroll's last season. And I think with Mike McDonald, what he was able to accomplish in Baltimore, taking a team and really building that defense out with not many guys that I would say are elite superstars. Remember, Clowney, he picks up in August. Van Noy picks up in off the Pat McAfee show, gets nine sacks. Clowney gets 9.5. They were really good at creating chaos for the offense. Think about this number. Yet last year, Baltimore, they were 25th in yards allowed rushing. And they saw the least amount of passing attempts, 31st in the league in terms of facing passing attempts, and yet they had a plus 42 halftime differential. Mm. So those numbers, when you sit down and look at them, you say, wait a minute, they have the lead, and yet teams aren't passing the ball on them. Second in the least amount of attempts.
Wow.
Okay? Therefore, you're talking about a team that basically is the teams are worried about throwing the ball on them.
Let's go
because of the scheme and because of their ability to, they want to manage the game correctly. And I think that McDonald bringing that to Seattle will make Seattle an effort. And I think it's really three teams. I don't think Arizona, you know, Warren Sharp put something out yesterday that if you're a Cardinal fan, you got to be really depressed because he put out, it's a little bit misleading. As some of the stuff that Warren puts out can be a little bit, because you can play with the numbers any way you want. But when you look at this, he put out a number of the quarterbacks in the last 5 minutes with a minimum of 45 attempts. Do they lead their team back? Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it goes from 1 to 56. Gardner Minshew was the 56th ranked player. And when you look at this list, I mean, when you look at it, Kyler Murray's 32nd in this list. You know, I hate to say this, Mike Glennon's 28.
I saw that.
So,
yeesh.
Did you see it?
Yeah,
I mean, Justin
did.
Fields was 54th.
Right. That's where numbers lie.
For all those people that wanted the Bears to keep Justin Fields, he was 54th on this list.
Let's get
what game are you watching?
Let's get to your first division in the other conference, in the AFC here. And I don't think it's a surprise at number three. It's when you have the reigning defendings, two-time champs, it's going to be a tough division in the West.
Right. And look, they got three coaches who have been to Super Bowl, two of them have won it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's all you need to know, that you got really good coaching in there. You can say whatever you want about the talent. Harbaugh's taken a team to a Super Bowl. He's rebuilt the team. He's won everywhere he's been. Sean Payton has won a Super Bowl, and Andy Reid's got three of them. Mm. And Antonio Pierce struggled at Long Beach Poly. Other than that, everything's good.
Yeah, I think it's going to be – it could be a – look, Raiders had a nice end to the season last year. I think it's going to be a little bit more difficult this year in that West. I'm right there with you. Number two, going to go back to the North in the NFC here, and I'm with you. I kind of feel like all four teams got better in the offseason. Do you see it that way?
They did, and I mean, look, and all four teams have quarterbacks that they like, right? You know, I mean, I don't think Goff is the best quarterback. Certainly, I think Love's improved. Caleb Williams is going to be a rookie. We don't know where they're going with J.J. McCarthy, but hopefully it'll be an upward turn. They still won games last year with Josh Dobbs and Nick Mullins. You got to give Kevin O'Connell a lot of credit. I think the North is really good. And the best one, David, I don't even think this is a debate. The best one's the AFC North.
Mm.
Because with Burrow back, right, Pittsburgh won 10 games last year with no quarterback. They go into Seattle with Mason Rudolph and run for 200-plus yards and throw for 200-plus yards. Win 10 games. And, you know, Cleveland, I don't know where they're going to be with Deshaun. We'll see. And Baltimore won 13 games. So from top to bottom, the North, every game in the North is hard, really, really hard.
And you look at the win totals for everybody in the AFC North. And again, we know the stat with Mike Tomlin, never had a losing record. And it's amazing that they basically all three quarterbacks they had in the roster last year are gone. They've completely, upended that whole quarterback room there. And they're sitting at 8.5. Do you think this is a legit four-horse race potentially in this division?
Yeah, I think it's – and I don't think it's going to get decided till late. If Burrow stays healthy, I think Cincinnati's a really good team. I think they made the improvements they needed to make. Remember, you know, you're going to judge a team based on what they did in the offseason, if they understood what their problems were and if they addressed them. Remember, why you win, why you lose. If you can answer that, you got a chance.
Yeah, I think you're right on. And I like the no excuses policy from Mike Tomlin, too. So didn't like the quarterback room, cleaned it completely out, and they got an all new batch in this year. Michael, when we come back, buckle up, America. Tim Doyle is going to join the program from Chicago, break down the NBA. That's next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you start your gambling day, you got to check it out. VSiN.com, each and every day, best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, they do vary. Betting tools, betting guides, it'll get you ready for your best gambling day yet. So check it out now at VSiN.com. Back alongside Michael Lombardi, Dave Ross here with you. And Michael, there are a few people that I enjoy talking just about anything with, but certainly basketball. Then the one and only Tim Doyle. Of course, you know Timmy on CBS, NBA TV, NBA Bet host. You can follow him at Tim Doyle 00 from Northwestern. And oh my goodness, we got double Doyle. We got Tim Doyle and Chicago Joe Doyle. You got the money bag, Timmy. Is Chicago Joe helping you with the picks, or is this all you?
Chicago Joe has his own opinion. You know, we live in a world now, David and Michael, where, you know, we're free thinking here, but we also believe in playing hooky. So we got a double going at Parks. We got some horse racing at Indiana Downs. Joe's recovering from foot surgery, so we've watched a lot of NBA. So, David, Michael, fire away, boys.
All right, so there we go. The NBA, Joe and Tim, your reaction to last night's Knicks-Pacer game, and do you think the Pacers are the better team?
What do you think? Who's better, Knicks or Pacers?
I think the Knicks are.
Yeah, and how about this, Michael? Brunson's over-under was 36.5. I've been doing this a long time. That's the highest point prop that I could remember. I know Doncic just gets up to 33, 34. How many did he end up with last night, Joe?
42, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he put on a show, and he was unstoppable in the fourth quarter. You know, it's amazing. Michael, you ran teams, so you understand this. They brought in three guys from the same school at Villanova, and that changed the trajectory of a professional organization because those three guys changed the culture. And that's what basketball can do, because I think the guys are better than ever. They're more talented than ever. They jump higher. They run faster. But you don't get that same culture that maybe you had in the 80s and 90s because AAU basketball is all about games and more games, and there's a lack of practice and winning's not a priority. Jay Wright set a precedent at Villanova, and I grew up, you know, listening to Jay Wright at camps. He was coaching me. And I think the next coach and the players that I would look out for and the guys that I would want to draft are Danny Hurley's guys at UConn.
Ooh.
I think the Knicks win this series in seven.
In seven, they do think it's going to be extended there by the Pacers, who maybe gave one away or had it taken from them late last night with some of those calls. Timmy, I know you know Michael Malone better than most. I don't know if you heard.
Don't call Mike. Call him Mike.
Does not like Mike. He likes Michael. You know him well. He seemed agitated last night about the lack of fire from his guys. Is this series? Barkley said last night at TT, this series is over. This is Minnesota in four. Again, knowing Michael Malone the way you do, do we see any more fight out of the reigning defendings?
Yeah, I mean, it's a series if they win game three. I'm going to come back and bet Denver in game three. I tried to catch a middle last night. I took Denver on the money line. I threw him in a parlay. And I took Minnesota plus the 6 points. And, yeah, Minnesota looked like the better team. Denver had no answer. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Jamal Murray. Woo! Throw the old heating pad. Did you see that? He threw a towel, too. I mean, I've never seen that before. Yeah, you got to worry because the Timberwolves, Monsieur Gobert missed the game last night, and still their defense was outstanding. David, how do you feel that he missed the game? You know, it was his first child, but the kid was born in the morning, and the game was at night. I don't know. I think he should have played in the game.
I'm a little bit old school. I don't have kids. Michael might have a different opinion. I was surprised by that. They seemed to rally without the Stifel Tower last night. But Michael, what's your thoughts on that as an executive? I guess this is a new day and age now. We just say you can take the day off. Yeah. We'll see you in game three.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, when I was having kids, we were just moving into the delivery room, and now, you know, you have to be there all the time, which, look, I think it's a personal choice. I understand it. I mean, look, Scottie Scheffler was going to leave the greatest golf tournament of all time, even if he was in the lead, if his wife went into childbirth. So I respect everybody's right to have that decision. And, you know, and look, I admire the Timberwolves for rallying around it, and Carl Anthony Towns for playing the way he played last night. But I think, to me, it really comes down to that. And it's hard to judge that from, you know, we're from different eras. And I don't want to sound like the grumpy guy on the lawn. So it's all about personal choice.
Totally. And again, they did not miss a beat holding the Nuggets to 80 points in that one. Timmy, we got a couple series getting ready to start tonight. I want to start. I know how much you love Luka. And I think you said that you've got three kids. Did you name any of them after Luka? Is there any middle names at any of the kids? Or if you have a fourth, is that the way you're going to go? Because I know how much you have an affinity for Doncic.
Yeah, I do love Luka Doncic. You know, we thought about naming Joe Dick Doyle, because that's a strong politician name, okay? Dick Doyle changes taxes. He's got great schools. But my wife, Michael, and David said that we couldn't name the kid Dick Doyle. So then our last kid, do you remember what we wanted to name him? John Morant Doyle? And then my wife said, you know, John Morant's carrying guns. Some people are for guns, not for guns in the NBA. So John Morant Doyle. And now David and Michael, according to Dr. Weinstein in Wheaton, Illinois, there will be no more kids in the Doyle household. So that shop is closed.
Done.
Up. As far as answering this question, I like the Mavericks in the series. You know, they changed, another team changed their culture, made moves, added Daniel Gafford, who had a big defensive presence. I'm not a big Kyrie Irving guy, just because I'm not sure he's a great locker room guy. But their team has changed. It went from being an offensive team earlier in the year to a defensive team. So In Rocky IV, Rocky grabbed the microphone at the end. He fought a Russian, okay? And he said, if I could change, and the Russian guy went, I'm going to get you, then you can change. Everybody can change. And that is what the Mavericks did. They changed from an offensive team to a defensive team. Joe, who do you like in this series, Mavericks or Thunder?
Ask the Thunder.
Why?
I think they're a better team.
Okay. That's his own opinion.
Yeah, it looks like that Tim and Chicago Joe are going to be a little bit at odds in that series there. The other one, Michael and I have talked about it, Timmy, with the Celtics and the Cavaliers. It just feels like, are we just looking at, what, best of five potential? I mean, can they even make it? Can they win a game, the Cavaliers? It feels like we're setting a really low bar for Cleveland.
You think Cavs win a game? No Porzingis in this series. How many games does Cleveland win best out of seven?
Matt, win like...
Three. Us to a game seven. I don't know if that's going to happen. I know this. I think the Celtics are in trouble without Porzingis.
Ooh.
You know, and when you hurt your calf, look at Giannis. Never came back from a calf injury. Look at myself. What did I hurt last year?
Calf.
That's right. Never played basketball again. A calf injury is a devastating injury. The Cavaliers were miserable on the road throughout the Magic series. I'd probably lay the 12.5 in this game. I do think that they get one game in Cleveland, so give me Celtics in five.
Let's shift to the Bears. I think I've gone through it now. Every year Ryan Poles has been the general manager, he's gotten an A-plus for the draft. Are you giving him 1-2?
Joe, I'll let you handle that. What do you give the draft here?
I think it might have been like A-minus.
What was your biggest takeaway from the draft? Besides the obvious, who else do you like that the Bears picked up?
Rome Odunze.
Yeah, who else?
That's kind of it.
What do you think their biggest need is, the Bears, going into this next season?
Defense.
Yeah, well, the Bears, here's the deal. I love the weapons that they picked up. Obviously, you see their draft there. And they've gone out and made moves, Michael. But this is the way you build a team now, right? Like, you roll the dice on a rookie quarterback that's supposed to be generational. I don't know. I've lived in Chicago 20 years. I've seen that movie before, right? It's like, holy cow. And, you know, the guy's painting his nails. I don't know. This is where I'm old school. Like, you need to come in there and show that you're a professional and you can run the locker room. Because when you're the quarterback of a team, you need to be the most respected guy. Because when you go in that huddle, everyone's got to look at you and be like, all right, we're going to rally around this guy. Not looking at his freaking fingernails. So I get it. We live in a social media era and we're talking about it right now. But this guy's going to have to run the offense. Like, I certainly am excited about them. I just wonder if they're going to move to Arlington Heights. Oh, Dave Ross and I.
Oh, boy.
We've had some parties out there at Arlington Heights, Michael. Dave Ross took his shirt off once at Arlington Park when we were betting horses one day. It was outstanding. We've had some crazy afternoons out there. I say at the end of the day, the Bears moved to Arlington Heights. At the end of the day, I think we're going to have to watch. What's the quarterback, the new guy's name? Caleb what?
Caleb Williams.
He's going to have to mature in front of our eyes.
Not all of what was just said was true, but we did have a ton of fun, Michael, at Arlington Park with the ponies and Timmy. Hey, Chicago Joe, get better. We're all rooting for you. It's so cool to see you back on the mend. Timmy, looks like you've been working out. You can wear a bigger shirt next time for the show, though, okay?
Hey, Joe, tell Michael and Dave what your goal in life is.
Marry rich.
Thank you, Joe.
There he is, Chicago Joe Doyle.
Good job.
Along with Tim, thanks for joining us on the Progressive Line. I'm telling you, Michael, there's nobody more fun to watch a horse race with than Tim Doyle. That is for sure. When we come back, we're going to put a bow on this edition of the Lombardi Line. That's next right here on VSiN.
Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up. So is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers can bet $5, get up to $150 in bonus bets instantly just by downloading DraftKings Sportsbook app. Do so now. Use the code VSiN only on DraftKings, and the crown can be all yours. Back alongside Michael Lombardi, I am Dave Ross. As we wrap up this edition of the Lombardi Line, Michael, I want to get back to the NFL with you. And we do have some interesting news that we'll get to in a second. But you mentioned earlier in the program, as you were power rating the best conference or best divisions, rather, in the NFL, in the AFC North, as you mentioned, as your number one. And we're expecting Joe Burrow. Obviously, hopefully, he's back to being Joe Burrow and being healthy. I want you to hear from Joe because he did meet with reporters and he wanted to let everybody know what kind of is his why as to what he does, what he does.
Continuing that drive for greatness, continuing that drive every day, trying to improve. You know, I'm addicted to getting better, and that feeling is that feeling. There's nothing like the feeling of getting better, because that makes the day to day really worth it. Once you start to see the results of the work that you're putting in, there's nothing like that. And so that's really what I'm striving for every day.
You know, Michael, we just had Tim Doyle on. He was talking about Chicago and Caleb Williams and whether or not the guys are going to, you know, you want everybody to follow your quarterback. And I know sometimes they go, well, it's just one of 53. But it is kind of one of one, right? When you hear that from Joe Burrow, is that what you want to hear as an exec?
I mean, the great Jeff Van Gundy had a great saying. He said, your best player must set the tone of intolerance for anything that gets in the way of winning. And that's what Burrow just described there. That's exactly what you want. That's why I hate the 76ers, because their best player loves to do nothing but prevent winning. He just doesn't, you know, not in shape, won't do anything. When that's your leader, you can't do anything. Mm. And so that's what irks me the most, is because your best player has to be the hardest worker. Kobe was the hardest worker. Michael was the hardest worker. Tom Brady was the hardest worker. Joe Burrow is the hardest worker. All these things lead to championships. You can't fluff your way to a championship. You're going to have to work hard. You know, Jalen Brunson is a self-made guy. He's worked hard, you know, and we're seeing this. And the results pay, and your teammates follow that, right? You need that. That's called leadership through example, you know. And the standard that you set as the best player on the team becomes the standard for the team.
I look at the Bengals last year, and obviously it became – they were still competitive down the road with Joe Burrow, but you just see what the difference is when you lose your guy. Like, they lost with Burrow last year. Now he's being back. Now, Joe is going to lose one of his guys, because Tyler Boyd, as we just found out this morning, has signed a one-year deal, $4.5 million to go to the Titans. And this happens – you know, you're going to have some erosion – because you can't pay everybody here. But when you do lose a number three, is that how important is that when you go deep into a roster?
Well, I think, look, if they wanted him back, they clearly could have had him back at $4.5 million. That's not a lot of money. And so he, you know, clearly they didn't want him back. They wanted to improve the position, and they've been drafting there. And I think at the end of the day, you know, this team's going to come down to T. Higgins and Jamar Chase and their addition of Zach Moss as the runner. I mean, they made it very clear that this year, they needed to get better in the offensive line, which I think they will. Jonah Williams wasn't a great right tackle. Whether it can be Trent Brown or the kid they drafted, Mims, in the first round, that's going to be determining what we see. But the defense, they needed to get better in the secondary. They drafted Dax Hill to be a safety. He couldn't really play there. They signed Geno Smith and re-signed Von Bell. They need that. What happens defensively for the Bengals is, because they're a check with me defense and they're adjustment defense, they need a lot of good communication. And when they lost Bates and they lost Bell, they lost their communicators. Mm. And those two young kids weren't ready to step in and play in that role. And that affected them defensively. They were not the same team defensively as they were 2 years ago. Some of it was from the lack of their front, and some of it was from their inability to really cover in the back end. But they were still effective when they got down the red zone, the 11th best red zone defense in football. And I think that was saving grace for them. So they're going to turn this thing around. They're going to be better. I think Moss was actually an upgrade over Mixon. Mm. And because Mixon looked like he had no juice left in his lower body last year. And that's a concern. So if Burrow is healthy for all 17, I think they're going to be a tough out.
I want to get down to America's team, because it just feels like we're always, every couple of years, it's Dak Prescott, new contract. What are we doing, Stephen Jones? What are we doing, Jerry Jones? Stephen said that he still feels confident that Prescott can lead the Cowboys to a championship. Clearly has not happened yet. So No contract extension as of yet. You know all about this as an executive. Are they going about this the right way in Dallas? Because I know that there's a lot of shots out there being taken that, man, they got to redo his deal next. But they have a lot of guys that they got to redo.
Well, they just have two, really. They got Lamb and they've got Parsons, you know. And so, you know, they've got Parsons for two more years, Lamb for next year. So there's really no rush to do it, right? And they have another year with Prescott. And so I don't see the sense of urgency. I mean, what I think people want them to do is to get cap room in terms of redoing Dak's deal and buy some cap room, but there's no players to sign for that cap room. The only thing you would do with that cap room by signing Dak would be to give that money to Parsons in this season. I think there's a lot of question marks that are floating around in Dallas, whether it's the coach, whether it's the quarterback. And I think the best thing to be is patient and just see how this plays out. Look, Dax makes a lot of money, and they've been a little bit like the Minnesota Vikings. They're hamstrung to Dax's contract. Now, Dax played well. It's not his fault all the time why they don't play well, but they're going to have to find a way to balance their team in terms of team building, and these young offensive linemen have got to come through for them.
Yeah, we talked about this the other day briefly. I actually thought Mike McCarthy did a great coaching job last year, and maybe this team overachieved, and then they got exposed a little bit, certainly by the Packers, who ran roughshod over them in the playoffs. How good is this team? Was there some smoke and mirrors last year, and does that show itself this year?
I'm not sure how good they are. I think Zimmer's a better defensive coordinator than Dan Quinn. I really believe that. That's not disrespecting Dan Quinn, but I think Zimmer's a better defense coordinator, especially in his third down area, you know, and creating turnovers. I think Quinn's always been a high energy, wonderful guy. The players love him. Zimmer's a tough guy. Mm-hmm. Zimmer's going to make the team tougher, and that's what he does. And I think that'll help Mike McCarthy, especially, you know, they're going to need that, and they're going to need to become tougher in that offensive line. That's going to be critical for them. So, look, I think Zimmer's a good addition for them, especially as they try to win on third. They still, whether they have a corner or not, I don't know. You know, I think that's going to be the key issue. Can they cover? We know Diggs can make plays on the ball. He gives up a lot of plays, but he can make plays on the ball. But I don't think that they've done enough. I think Philly is ahead of them right now, especially if they don't add, if those young defensive tackles don't come through for them.
The other team in Texas, the Houston Texans, they look like they are arriving quickly. And we got some good news. Tank Dell expected to make a full recovery after a frightening shooting incident in a crowded area. And it looks like a minor injury, so he should be okay. For a team now with high expectations coming off a division title last year, are they a year ahead of schedule? And what do you make of them now year two with C.J. Stroud at the helm?
I think they're an interesting team because, you know, they had a chance to get younger and they got older, right? They bring in Danielle Hunter, an older guy. They let Greenard go. You know, they bring in Mixon. They have Damian Pierce, who's a really good player on the team. For some reason, he's disappeared. You know, he averaged under 3 yards a carry last year. They bring Diggs in to be the third receiver. How's that going to work out? Diggs has basically ruined himself in two organizations, Minnesota and Buffalo. And now he's going to be the third option. You know, Nico Collins and Dell are going to be ahead of them. That's pretty clear. You know, I worry about how are they going to get the chemistry of this team together, especially with some of these older guys in the locker room and the expectations that they're just going to come in and waltz to the playoffs. Look, I love Stroud, thought he was really good. And I think that, you know, everybody's assuming they're just going to win it. And I think that's a little bit of a jump of an assumption. You know, Indy was right there with them without their starting quarterback. Jacksonville's got to get Trevor Lawrence to play at a much higher level. We know that, right? And Tennessee, they just signed Tyler Boyd. I think Tennessee's at least a year away.
I look at that division and plus money and all the teams there. Of course, the shortest number is the Texans plus $1.10 to repeat as division champs. You mentioned the Colts plus +340. The Jaguars are a bit of a mystery after last year with plus +240 numbers there to win the division. But we know that Lawrence was not healthy. I'm not using that as a cop-out, but I'm right there with you. He's got to be better, right, Michael? He's got to look like the generational talent we all thought he was.
But Dave, he's never thrown the ball down the field. He's never averaged over 7.1 yards per attempt down the field. It's check down. You're not beating anybody throwing it under 7.5 yards per attempt. You can't beat anybody that way.
Yeah, absolutely right.
And he turns the ball over way too much. He has too many bad plays, too inconsistent.
Yeah, going to have to be better if Jacksonville is going to be better. Michael, appreciate the conversation. We'll do it again tomorrow. Thanks, everybody, for watching and listening to The Lombardi Line.